You're listening to The Vitals, a monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncologynursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hi, everyone. This is Lindsay Fisher, Associate Editor at Oncology Nursing News. For this episode, we spoke with Kathy Burns and Gretchen McNally about their research on implicit bias for substance abuse in oncology nursing. They discuss how implicit bias negatively affects patient outcomes and how oncology nurses can adopt universal practices to practice inclusive supportive care.
Hi, my name is Kathy Burns. I'm a clinical nurse specialist at the James in Columbus, Ohio. My specialty is benign hematology, and I've had the great honor of working with Gretchen McNally on a project.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. So my name is Gretchen McNally. I'm a nurse practitioner at the James Cancer Hospital, part of Ohio State. And I've been working in hematology, mostly lymphoma, for 14 or 15 years now. I first recognized that a small but significant number of my patients were affected by substance use disorders. And this was in 2013. I think that's because 2013, I think, was the first year that nurse practitioners were able to prescribe opioids. And so I started paying closer attention. So since that time, patients affected by cancer and a substance use disorder really has become my passion. And at first, I was interested mostly in the patients themselves and improving their outcomes. But it was during a substance use screening pilot that occurred in late 2018 and early 2019 that I realized that we can identify these patients that have a substance use disorder, but then providers did not, know what to do with them or didn't know what to do next. So that's when my focus kind of shifted to the provider and education standpoint. So after the screening pilot, I started trying to develop or create an educational toolkit for providers. And this has evolved a lot over the last couple of years. But the first part was conducting a survey of like the knowledge and experiences of multidisciplinary healthcare providers. And so I was able to launch that thankfully just before COVID-19 hit in early 2020. And the full survey was 29 questions. For this article, Kathy and I focused on two of the questions that had to do with implicit bias, and we only looked at nurses and advanced practice providers.
Could you talk a little bit about that educational toolkit that you mentioned?
Yes. So it doesn't exist. It's still being, developed or created. But the idea was that, a toolkit with like different things, say harm reduction strategies or safer prescribing practices, even more information on just the science behind addiction, treatment for addiction, the medication for opioid use disorder, for example. There's also, I'm not as familiar with it, but there's, I think, naltrexone for alcohol use disorder, but just more like different tools to kind of help providers become more comfortable with dealing with patients that have substance use disorders. And one part of that has been creating a implicit bias component of that. And I recently submitted a grant application, and fingers crossed, I should find out next month, hopefully to be able to start to develop and create that. It's for all healthcare providers, not only nurses, but I just feel that nurses and APPs really are such a huge part of the healthcare workforce that we can really, we really are the people that spread messages.
Guys are definitely the mouthpiece. And for something like this, all that patient interaction, I think it really makes sense that it would start with you.
Exactly.
You said that you've really focused on two questions in that survey. that had to do with implicit bias. Can you explain what those questions were?
Yes. The first question asking if nurses or all providers, all respondents felt that implicit bias or stereotypes affected the care that patients received.
The first question was, I am certain that stereotypes or biases do not impact the quality of care patients receive. APP's 23% results are concerning because nurses and APPs work in oncology were unaware of their own biases.
So the first question was, you know, do stereotypes or bias impact the quality of care that patients receive? And then the next question was actually specific to the participant themselves. And they were asked, I am certain I treat all persons the same regardless of current or past opioid use disorder. And about 70% of nurses and 50% of APPs agreed or strongly agreed that they felt they treated all patients the same regardless of their history of opioid use disorder. So I thought that was interesting because while more participants recognize that yes, bias does impact care, they did not think that or felt that that applied to them, that while it does affect some people and not the care that they deliver. So they were kind of blind that they may also have or be impacted by implicit bias.
Very interesting. Yeah. And that sort of leads us into our next discussion question, which is how does implicit bias negatively affect the health outcomes of patients?
Implicit bias can affect healthcare disparities. I think there's a lot of research and background on assessment, poor assessments, diagnosis on patients who may, if a provider is unaware of their unconscious bias, there's research on gender, race, culture, weight, language, automatic perception of one may dress or act. And I think it's very important to understand like what is implicit bias. There's many components to it from a scientific standpoint, but from a basic standpoint, it's unconscious, it's unintentional. And it's a way our brain has evolved over many years for survival status and to process our environment. So consciously, we can, as healthcare providers, you know, medical school, nursing school, you know, we are taught not to be prejudiced. We're not taught, you know, to treat all people equal. And I think we consciously come in with that with great intentions. But it's the unconscious, the unintentional interactions that a patient may pick up during an interview process, communication, an assessment. You know, are we nonverbally expressing our unconscious bias without any intentions? Are we even aware of that? Just like simple things I know with me when I work on certain projects, I'm like, oh, I know they're good at that because they have this background. Oh, I know they're super good at, you know, so unconsciously, I think I have good intentions. I'm making my project work well, right? But what about that? I learned on one project, you know, someone said to me, oh, you think I'm good at that because of my culture. And I didn't put that together. But now that I've become more aware, yes, we think implicit bias a lot of times, you know, there's some positivity to it as far as what we've learned in our experience. But then it's the negative, the unconscious, the things that we suppress down that we need to understand to bring to awareness when interactions with patients and understanding, you know, a lot going on with the world, with the pandemic, opioid crisis, all these things, how's that changing our perception of the patients we care for and how it has all that changed them and their needs and how we can interact and reach out and be able to meet their needs from that standpoint too. Communication and that automatically, what do they say in the first like 5 to 7 seconds in a new interaction, someone's already developed a perception of how this is going to go. And even just thinking of our own personal perceptions, working in the healthcare or being a patient, like recently in the last year, I had to be on the other end of things. And with all this passion of implicit bias and working on this in other avenues, I start picking up on things, you know, I start picking up like what is the real meaning of that? You know, particularly when it comes to someone you love, like your father or your husband, and you're listening to people and you're already kind of figuring out where they're going. So I think communication, interaction, and if, when it comes to substance abuse disorder, I think one big thing that we have to, it would be positive for all providers who are interacting with prescribing, would be universal precautions of prescribing methods. You know, understanding like urine tox screens is a huge topic, and understanding when you do a screen like that, the words matter. Right? How you interpreted that. Some people will say negative terminology, not just the way we're taught, maybe in taught from an ER, wherever their background is. Oh, that's it. That urine's dirty. That's not a proper way to communicate a tox screen. So understanding universal prescribing, understanding one's own state prescribing privileges, resources. What resources do you have in your state that will help you with universal precautions resources?
And Kathy, you kind of led into my next question with that. But so implicit bias, obviously, it's unconscious.
Right.
And for nurses who, advanced practice providers who are prescribing opioids, but maybe don't have access to, I know, like the educational toolbox, not complete yet. There isn't a concrete system yet. How can they make sure that they're not allowing implicit bias to affect them when they're prescribing these medicines?
I think the number one thing is awareness, being aware of your own implicit bias, being aware of what triggers, what are your triggers? What are your personal triggers? Reflection, reflecting on your own behavior and how others react to that behavior, reaching out to those you trust to that would be honest and help guide you to how you may come across or how sometimes your actions may be interpreted differently. Like my situation I spoke of when I do projects and stuff, like I never realized that would have been offensive to somebody, but it was. Kind of understanding those things. Again, I think there's, especially with recent events in the pandemic, there's so many resources coming out to our disposal, if it be within a within our institution or with outside of our institution. I think that we have, that there's a lot of resources. The biggest thing I think is being mindful and understanding our patients and where they're coming from, and pushing ourselves against that comfort zone, right? Like I have to do it all the time. I know things that make me uncomfortable, and pushing ourselves, reaching out and maybe interacting in something that we wouldn't do that would help us grow, that would help us build another culture perspective. And I think there's going on a lot going on in the world as a whole, right? I just read yesterday, in the last 12 months, the CDC has reported from March 2020 to March 21, like 96,000 people have died of an overdose, right? So I just think being very mindful of what's going on in the world, how we react to that, and know that, you know, the needs of people and in our clients, our patients are just going to shift and change.
And as Kathy mentioned, really universal precautions in prescribing controlled substances or opioids is really key. And just like, you know, universal precautions, you think of hand washing. So you hand wash for everyone, regardless of if they have an infectious disease or not. That's just what you do. Every single patient or person you hand wash. And that's kind of how universal precautions for prescribing are, you know, regardless of who they are, every single patient I prescribe for, they get a urine toxicology screen, or, you know, I check on and ORS, which is the state monitoring system for prescription medications, on every patient, not whether or not they look like to me what someone who has a substance use disorder is. So I just wanted to kind of add that.
Yeah, and I just kind of want to add to this too. One big thing is it's not a one and done kind of thing. Like, it is very important to implement these skills, like Gretchen said, like throughout the community. It's a practice, it's a behavioral change, right? And I think along with, you know, any training. There's so much literature out. Like, there's a lot of literature out on the implicit associate testing in Harvard. Not a lot, doesn't seem to be a lot of research long-term how that helps. And that's definitely a start. And the thing with that too, I want to add to is it's so important to, however one decides to get education and training, is to have someone who is an expert and that can guide them. Because when you think of implicit bias, it can go as positive as it maybe go negative if you don't have the right resources or debriefing. So I feel like that's very important as a part of a training. It's having the right people in that training at the table and looking at the evidence-based practice and interventions, how one learns, you know, scenarios, interactions, IAT tests, or there are other tests that are similar to that as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.